Welcome back to the Gospel Sports Truths Podcast. I hope you guys have had an excellent week. We have quite a bit of sports to talk about. We're in the thick of it in the NFL. We are kicking off at NCAA first inaugural weekend of the 12-team playoff. A lot of stuff going on. College ball. I mean, it's one of the most wonderful times of year. And not just because of sports, but because of what other people say the most wonderful time of year is with the mini holidays. So I'm your host, Zay, the Fantasy Football Fiend. I have my guy, BK Wins. Holla at the people, BK.
Hey, everyone, and happy holidays.
And speaking of, I just want to make sure I put this out here now just in case I get too excited or ramped up about something else that I forget to mention this at the end. We won't be on next week. We're going to be spending time with our loved ones, as you do as well. So for next week's shows, we won't have them. That following week, we will be back to you. It will most likely either be two shows or one show that week. We'll kind of figure out how that goes. But what you can do right now, is go ahead and follow or subscribe. So that way you get an alert on whichever app you like to use when we have a show that comes out. You'll never miss a show. So yeah, go ahead and do that for us right now. Help us help you and you help us. Win-win situation, all right? So with that being said, you can reach us on YouTube at The Gospel STP. If you haven't joined the Facebook group, that is the Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group, and you will see the exact same emblem there as you do on your podcast app of choice. With that being said, let's hop right into it. What's the good word of the week, BK?
Yeah, Zay, so big news in college football this week is Mike Vick was named the head coach of Norfolk State. I was curious, were you surprised? What's your reaction? How do you think he'll fare?
I definitely was surprised because no one was talking about it until like 2 days before it happened. And the way it came across the wire was Sacramento State was in the running for his services and Norfolk State as well. So it kind of feels like there was like a, hey, if you won't hire me, somebody else will type of situation going on there. And how do I think he'll fare? Well, I'll put it this way. Norfolk State went 4-8 this year. Their worst case scenario has been the same. Their best case scenario is Michael Vick brings a little bit of cachet as far as name value is concerned. And they get a little bit more talent on that roster just by having him as the head coach. But I'm going to also address the elephant in the room. And I definitely understand, you know, Michael Vick's past, the serve time for the dog fighting and all that kind of good stuff going on his property. I believe it was his cousin or friend or something, if I'm not mistaken, who was actually doing the dog fighting, but on one of his properties in Virginia, did fed time. That's all well and good. What America has shown me, if nothing else, is that a criminal background does not make you unworthy of a job that they feel that you are worthy of. So I'll say, we all have a past. There are probably certain things that we all definitely aren't proud of, but could have served a similar amount of time or more if we had gotten caught doing a lot of the things that we may have done in life. We live in a state, BK, where one of the most popular schools in the state, their logo or our mascot is a Gamecock. You know what Gamecocks are fighting are famous for? Fighting, bird fighting, cock fighting. That's like a thing down here. Everywhere else in the United States, people would probably be appalled. And a lot of people in this region of the world would look and say, what's the big deal? Not saying that it's right or wrong. Animal cruelty, no matter how you slice it, is wrong. Let me put that out there. But, and I'm not justifying what Mike Vick did at all. But I'm just saying, you might want to understand how close you may be to being in a same or similar type of repercussion type situation. Now, I'm not saying we're all two steps away from dogfighting. That's not what I'm saying, BK. But whatever it is that you do happen to do or have done in the past that could have caught up with you, and maybe it did or it didn't, I don't know. But one thing I can say about America in this particular time frame, if you will, is this latest election has shown me that if I feel that you're good for the job, you're good for the job, and it doesn't matter what you're, what you've said, what you've done, or whatever the case is, we can look past whatever if we feel that you're a good fit for whatever it is we're putting you in. And I just don't want any fake outrage. What do I mean by that? A lot of the people that are going to be outraged at Michael Vick getting his job, they have no clue what conference this school is in. They have no clue who the former head coach was. They probably wouldn't even be able to name any teams within the division. Most people don't know who South Carolina State, North Carolina Central, Morgan State, Howard, or Dale State are. So I just don't want the, oh my God, the sky is falling, what about the kids crap. Like, let's move on from that. And that's kind of what I got on that. But their worst case scenario is they remain the same. And best case scenario, you get a little bit of Deion Sanders action in there. Win or lose, you're selling more tickets. You're more famous or infamous, whichever direction that goes. And I don't see how it hurts the school or the kids. I'll leave it there.
Yeah, so I think for me, the only real issue that I have with this hire and why I was so confused is he has zero coaching experience. Like, he's never coached anywhere ever. And to be given a collegiate job with no experience just because of what he did in college and NFL raises some serious concern. Now, most people aren't going to care because of who hired him. And at the end of the day, it's not like Alabama or Ohio State or a big time college hired him. So I don't think at the end of the day, it really matters per se. As far as his past goes, look, nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes, maybe not to the degree that he did where he served time, but people change, things change. I don't know him. I'm not going to judge him. And we all, if anything, we know America loves a comeback story. We like to bury you when you screw up, and we like to praise you when you come back and do something great. I hope he's learned from said mistakes and he turns this into a great opportunity and he has success. I have my doubts whether he can do that given the lack of coaching, but I also haven't seen him coach. So the opposite holds true too.
No.
You don't know until you get the job. You don't have the experience, but you don't have the experience until you get the job. So I'm curious to see how he'll do. I have an open mind about it. It would be unfair to the audience to not say, if you don't have coaching experience, that's going to be a challenge. I think that's fair.
Correct. Well, not correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just straight up asking you because I don't remember. Did Deion have coaching experience? I honestly don't remember.
I believe he did have some minor coaching experience, yes.
Okay. I didn't remember. I don't remember him being like an OC or DC anywhere or anything like that. Or if he did like coach high school or something like that, I don't remember where. Maybe he's been coaching his kids like the whole time. I don't know. But there have been several people who have been given coaching jobs on a much higher level. Football can be a little bit different, but there have been several. It's happened several times in the NBA where you literally not coached anywhere and you went straight pro first time. Like, whoa, where did that come from? So for your first quote unquote coaching gig to be at a community college, how much lower did you want them to go? Like, were we supposed to start at Polo Road, or like we supposed to go to the rec center? Like there's not really much lower you can go than the community center. I mean, then not the community center. Excuse me. No disrespect. No Fort State family out there. Not community. I mean, I think it is like a community. Like it's a lower tier. No, again, no offense, but it's a lower tier. Like,
for those of you out there, Zay's email address is no. Just kidding.
I'm trying to remove the foot from my mouth, but it's not working.
This is why we can't have nice things.
What I'm trying to say is he's starting in a place that's just north of high school. And the fact that he was a quarterback, kind of like with basketball, when you're a point guard, you have a little bit more insight on what's going on a little bit of everywhere. Obviously, you have to know how to read defenses if you're a quarterback, you would think. You also have to know what defenses make sense in what cases based on being that position. You also obviously have to know the offense. Like, it's one of those positions where if you're going to do it without the amount of experience that most of us would need, that would be one of the positions you can do it for. So. Looking forward to seeing how that goes, and we'll see if they can compete on next year with the South Carolina State Bulldogs, who ran roughshod over that conference this year round and made it to the bowl game there before they were defeated by Jacksonville State.
So I was curious what you thought about this. There's a few weeks left in the NFL season. Who's your favorite to win the NFL MVP?
Josh Allen, and it's not even close. He's doing more with less. And the thing about it is, sometimes you can do more with less, especially if that subtraction is going to give you more of Josh Allen, who's the best player on that team by far. If that team, based on cuts and movement this offseason, we thought may have been kind of pushed a little bit closer to irrelevance, is now as good or better than they have been. The coaching didn't change. The wide receiver core is worse. Running backs didn't change. The defense got worse. One thing remains, the quarterback. So I got to give him his props. And this is coming from a New England fan. This is coming from someone who has thought in the past that Josh Allen has perennially underperformed. I got to give him his props this year based on what he's doing with less.
So I agree with you. I'm going to give you the Vegas take first.
Okay.
So Josh Allen currently minus 1,000, Lamar Jackson plus 700, Saquon Barkley plus 1,400, Jared Goff plus 2,500, and then you have Mahomes, Burrow, and Hurts at plus 15,000. In my mind, I think it's really down to Allen and Lamar. And the only reason why I'm even fitting Lamar into the conversation, and I got to tell you that, you know, I follow these things very closely. I didn't realize how great Lamar Jackson's numbers are. 34 touchdown, 3 picks, all the rushing yards on a team that is very close to first place. They're a game behind the Steelers. But, you know, Allen's 11-3. 25 touchdowns, 5 picks, but more impressively, 11 touchdowns on the ground. And he suffered key losses at wide receiver. He lost his top 2 targets there, as you mentioned before. The defense has had some injuries, which isn't his issue, but it puts more pressure on him to score points when your defense is banged up. Just ask the Lions how that goes. So, yeah, I think Allen's going to win it. I'd be shocked at this point if he doesn't win it. But both these quarterbacks have been absolutely terrific this year, for sure.
Got one for you, BK.
Sure.
You have a pivotal weekend coming up in the NFL. We have several divisional games that may kind of be determining factors and things of that nature going on. For you, what 2 games would you say kind of make your list of must watch or most important? And then I'll give you my 2.
So I really first want to talk about Pittsburgh and Baltimore, but unfortunately, I'll have more to say on that later. What I will say is the reason why that game is important is division rivals. Baltimore is only a game out of first place, so they're tied up with two to play if Baltimore holds serve at home. The interesting thing here, the Steelers have beaten them 8 out of the last 9 times, so they've had their number for sure. But I'll talk about more of that game later. The two that I'll target are Houston and Kansas City for one. The second one, Minnesota and Seattle. And the reason why, first of all, while Houston has the division wrapped up, at this point, they really don't have a lot to play for. They have the division. They're not going to host a first-round game as far as meaning a potential bye. They'll, as a division winner, they'll host a playoff game just to clean that up. But Kansas City, they have a 2-game lead with 3 to go. We talked about early in the week about Mahomes' ankle. You correctly pointed out he's been practicing. Coach Reed said he's likely to play. The point spread also says he's going to play, as it went from -3 Houston to -3 Kansas City. For those of you who don't follow Vegas, a line doesn't move 6 points unless it's a key change. And the key change is Mahomes is playing. So Vegas knows he's playing, which is why the odds move. With that being said, I like Kansas City to win at home. If Mahomes is playing and they're at home, they're the answer. Give me the Chiefs to win a game at home. I just don't trust the Texans to be able to play a full 4 quarters in game against a really good team. Now, the Chiefs let everybody hang around, as we've talked about. So, you know, there's always a chance with them, but I like Kansas City at home with that crowd. They're going to get it done, and they have a lot to play for. The other game, the Vikings have a monster road game at Seattle. It's one of the true home field advantages left in the NFL. 12-2 Minnesota tied with Detroit now. Minnesota's schedule's tough down the stretch. They got Seattle, Detroit, and Green Bay to close the year. Like, that is no bargain. And, you know, Geno Smith is going to try to play with his injured knee this week. It's an important game for Seattle as they try to figure things out as well. I don't really have a take on that game, although I will lean Minnesota's going to win just because I think they're the healthier and more complete team. But that's going to be a tough game for sure, and a very, very, very important game for both teams, but especially for Seattle if they want to win the division and make the playoffs. What two games do you have? What do you think?
So you mentioned Pitt versus Baltimore. I actually have that game, but then I have Philly versus Washington as well. As far as Pitt and Baltimore, that's going to be a knockdown, drag out. They always play each other close. It doesn't matter what the record is. I'm not BK, okay? So don't take your betting advice from me. But all I'm saying is that stat that you threw out there, I think the rest of the general public has called on to it as well, which means it's time for this thing to flip and Baltimore to beat Pitt. That's what I'm calling for this. Philly versus Washington. I kind of feel like this is big brother versus little brother. While little brother just had a growth spurt and is the same size as big brother, and everyone is anxiously waiting to see if little brother will now be able to give big brother, you know, a little bit of payback for all the horror that has been seen over the years. So I'm looking forward to that. And also because I kind of feel like all four of those teams are going to make the playoffs either way, but how they make the playoffs and the likelihood of them being successful in the playoffs may depend on a win or loss from this weekend in both situations. So those are the two games that I am looking forward to the most this weekend. What else we got?
So which college team playing this weekend?
Okay.
Do you think has the best chance to win the national title? So for those out there, here are the four games of the teams playing this weekend. We have SMU at Penn State. We have Clemson at Texas. We have Indiana at Notre Dame and Tennessee at the Ohio State University. Of those four games and those eight teams, Who do you think has the best chance of winning the title?
Actually, this is pretty easy for me out of those teams. Texas. We thought Texas may have been the best in the country for most of this year, or one of the best, worst case scenario there. But a top three team in the country for most of the year, none of the other teams show up on Texas' biggest problem is which of their quarterbacks are they going to throw out there? That's the biggest problem that Texas has. None of these other teams really gives me, obviously someone has to win every single one of those games, but none of those teams really make me feel like they're going to be able to do much after this round either way. So Texas is the only one that I can look forward to the next round and say, yeah, I really think that they have, I don't see Ohio State beating Oregon. I think Ohio State will beat Tennessee this weekend. I don't see them beating Oregon. If Tennessee beats Ohio State, I don't see if Tennessee wins, I don't see them beating Oregon. I don't see like the next teams up. I just don't see most of these teams having a chance against. I'll just put it that way. And I will say again, Texas.
So I don't know if you're going to be happy, surprised. I don't know how you're going to react to this, to be honest.
Okay.
But my pick here is the Buckeyes. And here's why. Ohio State's at home against Tennessee in a game they should win. And we know that from a roster standpoint of the teams playing this weekend, Texas and Ohio State have the two best rosters. I think we'd all agree with that part. Not how they played, but from a roster construction, they're the two most talented teams. I've already seen the Buckeyes lead Oregon on the road 28-22 after three quarters. And again, had they managed that last drive a little bit better, they probably would have kicked a field goal and won that game. And we might have had, and I know we don't talk about ifs and buts and all those things, but the fact is, you're up 6 points on the road against a team that went undefeated. As much as we feel about Ohio State and Day and their opportunities, it's a fact they were up a touchdown on the road after three quarters. So, you know, they can play with this team. They've proven they can play with this team, which is why I think they're have the best chance of winning out of these group of eight teams.
There is no way you could have gotten me to say Ohio State. No way. And mostly because I don't want to jinx my team. But yeah, I'm going with Texas.
Don't mess with Texas, right?
It is not going to be my part of Ohio State losing. That's going to be squarely on the shoulders of Ryan Day. So yeah, I would know. Absolutely not. I'm not picking my team. I'm rooting for them, but I'm not picking them.
So I know you're a big NBA guy, Zay, so I was curious. You know, current Bucks assistant Darvin Ham has kind of a little bit of an interesting stat line. He's now a two-time defending NBA Cup champion. He led your Lakers to a 7-0 record as head coach when they won the Cup. And then now as the assistant of the Bucks, another 7-0 and another Cup championship. So my question to you is this a big deal? Is this just a coincidence? Is it much to do about nothing? And how do you feel about the Bucks, not only in terms of winning the Cup, but how you see them as they stack up against teams like the Celtics, Cavs, and Knicks?
First and foremost, Darvin Ham did not win the NBA Cup. Darvin Ham is a backup coach, and it's cute to say that he's undefeated in the NBA. Whatever. Whoop-de-doo. No one cares. They aren't any closer to being actual championship worthy than they were before they were. Congratulations to Dame Lillard for finally getting some hardware. Like that's the best thing that came out of this. I couldn't care less about Darvin. Couldn't care less about the NBA Cup, and neither could the listeners or the viewers, because viewership is at an all-time low for the NBA. So I'm pretty sure I don't stand alone when I say, who cares? That's just kind of where I am with that.
Yeah,
and so you'll hear a little something else a little bit later on involving this situation and scenario.
Fair enough. So, I mean, here's what I'll say for the Bucks. after a 4-9 start, they are 7-2 in their last nine. They've been playing a lot better basketball. As far as where they sit or how I compare them, at this point, I have them fourth in the East in terms of my own power rankings. Forget about the records. The Celtics are the best team. I know they're a game probably, I think, behind the Cavs. But Okoro, their defensive ace, is going to be out a few weeks, which will hurt them a little bit. But look, the Celtics are the best team in the East. They're the most talented team. They're number one. The Cavs, I have number two. And the Knicks, I have number three. I think those three are straightforward. I would put the Bucks fourth because I think they have enough talent to warrant them there, especially with the Sixers literally probably having two injuries as I talk. So, and I, Orlando's dealing with an injury as well. So I just think they're fourth. But I just got to be honest. I think for me, I have a hard time watching regular season NBA games. And I don't mean to sound like the old school guy, but, and I understand that nobody wants to watch the 88 Pistons and the Knicks play 80-72, right? Where we're watching like 30 minutes and hoping to find two baskets. I understand that. But I have a hard time watching games that are 81-76 at halftime or 140-136 in the regular season. Like, are we playing all-star games? Are we just playing like we're not trying to play defense? Are we the Bengals and the Cowboys and just don't play defense? Like, what are we doing? I have a hard time. And the season's too long in 82 games and half the league makes the playoffs. And so it's like, how do I get invested in the regular season of a sport where I don't know that they care?
I'm the same way about baseball.
Yeah. I mean, these seasons
are a ton of games and the players get bored. So if the players get bored, what would make you think the fans aren't going to? So, yeah, right. I see where you're coming from there. I do. All right. So moving right along to one of my favorite segments in the show, our truth and nothing but the truth. What we got at first, BK?
So I was curious, in your mind, what makes for a superstar elite NFL quarterback? What are things you look for?
Clutch inaccuracy. Everything else is interchangeable. You may be a guy that can run. You may be a guy that doesn't run the lick. You may be a vocal guy. You may be a guy that just needs to say something when it needs to be said. You may have come from a big school, may have come from a small school. There are a ton of different caveats as far as that's concerned. But if you're clutch and you're accurate, you won't be the reason why your team takes an L. And more often than not, those two things can be the determining factor in whether or not your team wins or loses. And at the end of the day, if you want to be elite, you can't be an elite loser. That just doesn't. Aaron Rodgers has tried it. It doesn't work very well. It's you have to be, in order to be elite, you have to win. And even if you don't win necessarily all that much in the postseason, we have to see consistency in your win-loss record, and we can even bypass the happenstances of the tournament at the end of the year where you may have just had the bad day and you weren't necessarily the better player or the better team. So if you have that clutch gene and you're accurate, I think that you can pretty much will a team that has decent coaching to the postseason and what fans have shown and what players have shown. And a multitude of different sports is you can't be the GOAT without championships, but you can be great without championships. So when we're talking about greatness, when we're talking about being elite, you don't have to win everything. You just have to win often.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, Zay, I mean, one of the best quarterbacks, I think, in the history of the league is Dan Marino.
Dan Marino.
He made Super Bowl the first game for his first season and never sniffed a Super Bowl after that. And I mean, everyone, historians of the game, comment about what a great all-time NFL quarterback he was, and he never won one. So yeah, I definitely can appreciate that for sure. For me, I look at a bunch of different things. I look at the it factor, leadership qualities. like the moxie, mental toughness, accountability, but also things like quick releases. Can you read defenses and process information? Because knowing it, also being a student of the game and loving the game. Are you in it just for the money? Or are you actually a football junkie that loves what you do? There's a difference. And so players that love the game and put their all into it, you want those guys on your team because you know they're going to outwork everybody. They're the first person there, the last person to leave. They don't watch. They can't watch enough film session. They hold themselves accountable. And like you said, being clutch. How do you play when it matters the most? And I think all those things are important qualities.
What we got up next, BK?
So speaking of quarterbacks, why do you think there's been such a tremendous regression in the quality of NFL quarterbacks?
Actually, BK, I'm going to reject the premise. I don't think there's been a tremendous fall off in quarterback performance. I think we have the same amount of great quarterbacks that we've had throughout the years, which is not very many, which is kind of like, if everyone's elite, then no one is elite. It's kind of how that goes. But I think the game itself has changed, but we still have the same amount of great quarterbacks in the game. We've seen some things over the last few years that have kind of made us, I would say, a bit bougie as to how we measure greatness. We didn't even get the opportunity to say there'll never be another Tom Brady before we were already comparing Patrick Mahomes to him. Like you don't, that doesn't happen. Like you rarely see, it's kind of like in the NBA. You didn't get a chance to say we'll never see another Jordan before the chosen one, LeBron James, was already on the scene and people were saying, hey, he could be the next guy. I believe that we have several quarterbacks that are going to be in your neighborhoods of the Drew Breeses of the world and the, you know, Eli Mannings of the world, things of that nature. We already have the next Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Like, if you really go through and kind of match things up 1A to 1B, it's a lot closer than what you think, but because the game has changed and you can lead your team to a win by playing halfback at the quarterback position, essentially now, you don't have to be as great as what has made a quarterback traditionally great to be a great quarterback. Let me put it that way. And it goes back to the difference between our definitions of greatness and elite. Mine is, are you clutch? Are you accurate? And are you winning? Right? So some people may say a quarterback like a Lamar Jackson or a Russell Wilson or some of these guys out here that are capable of doing it on the ground, we may not look at them under the same lens, but are you winning? You may do it differently, but are you winning? Are you clutch? Do you figure it out when it matters the most? Again, per my previous definition, I don't think we're that far off. I really don't. Give or take a couple of guys one way or the other. And I also go as far as saying is, I don't think the guys at the bottom are as bad as some of the guys at the bottom previous. So, you know, there's that too.
I can't
disagree with me more.
I can't disagree with that assessment. What I will say is, for me, I look at it like this: 32 quarterbacks. There's only 12 that I would actually want on my team. And I made a note so that I didn't miss one, because, you know, I don't want my email going out there. So Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Jaden Daniels, CJ Stroud, Jalen Hurts, Jordan Love, Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, and Bo Nix. Those are the 12. And again, Nix is a rookie.
You got to put Baker Mayfield on that list at this point. You got to. You just got to.
I'll put him on there. So 13, but still 13 to 32. I say it, which is a better number. And to be honest with you, when I made this comment 2 months ago, I only had 10. We picked up a few because Mayfield's played a lot better, and Bo Nix has turned into a much better player than I think any one of us thought at this point in a rookie season.
Yeah, facts.
And, you know, I also think that Stafford has been playing better the second half of the year as well, which is why the Rams have gotten hot amongst their players getting healthy as well. So, but I would say 13. I just, you know, when I think about watching quarterbacks, I'm used to Brady and Manning and Manning and Breeze and Roethlisberger and all these guys. You can go up and down the league of all these quarterbacks, and it's a little bit different for me. But I do see your point that the bottom is better than what the bottom used to be.
And there are, and if I missed it, I apologize. But for me, there are a couple other quarterbacks that I could throw on that list of QBs I wouldn't mind having. They aren't necessarily the guys that are going to go out and win the game for you, but around the right team, barring concussions, Tua Tagovailoa is a pretty decent quarterback. Russell Wilson has shown previous to Denver and now with Pitt that he's a winning quarterback. I wouldn't mind that. Did you say Kyler Murray?
No.
Okay. I wouldn't mind having Kyler Murray. I wouldn't mind Dak Prescott. I can't remember if he was on your list.
Absolutely not. You know why? Because it goes exactly to your point earlier. I like winning. Hell, I'm BK Wins. Of course I like winning. Why would I want a guy that never wins anything important? No.
Pass. Well, but the thing with that is, again, I can't say he's not a winner. His team isn't. If Jerry Jones would get out of the way, we may see what the talent is on that team. But I can't say that Dak Prescott isn't a guy worthy of being considered a good quarterback in the NFL. Matthew Stafford, I put him in that. Did you mention Stafford?
I did.
Okay. Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is showing that Sam Darnold is not as good a quarterback as Dak Prescott is. And Sam Darnold wouldn't even be in the league right now, most likely, if he didn't find himself in a situation like he's found right now, where the synergy is there from the coach and the pass catchers that you can actually see the talent that he has. Geno Smith is in a similar situation. Had he stayed with the Jets, he probably wouldn't have a job right now. But they're actually winning the division out there in the NFC West. So if you're winning that division, I can't say that you aren't a good enough quarterback. So that's another guy that would be on my list of quarterbacks worth having. Brock Purdy is on my list of quarterbacks worth having. So there's a little bit, I mean, for me and my list, we're talking like closer to 20 out of 32 being serviceable. And if you put the right pieces around them, you can actually win. So that, I mean, because we didn't say why aren't X teams better. We're talking about a specific position that two guys on my list has literally shown you. If you give me a team that's worth a crap, I may actually be able to play a little bit. If no one else is the poster child for this, Sam Darnold is. So, Geno Smith as well.
So, I do agree with Kyler Murray and, you know, definitely Baker Mayfield for sure. I would include both of them. The Tua issue, even when he's come back now, he hasn't played well. Like, he's healthy and hasn't been good. He threw 40 passes, didn't hit 200 yards, and threw 3 picks. How Tyreek Hill has 2 catches and 36 yards in a game they have to have and only lose 20 to 12. And I know I'm picking one game, but it's the most recent game. But if I look at Darnold too, you know, Darnold has had four really good games. He's had a lot of mediocre games. But Darnold is exactly, you know, the reason why I can pile on Prescott and why Dak gets grief and why other quarterbacks get credit is, even though we know that you win and lose games at the line of scrimmage, the quarterbacks ultimately get all the credit when things go well and they get the blame when it goes bad. That's the deal. You make all that money.
I disagree with that. I think that that's a prevalent statement, but I haven't heard very many people giving Sam Darnold the credit. I've heard the coaches getting credit. I've heard the defense get credit. I've heard the wide receivers get credit. I'm just saying that he's good enough to run a team. Like for the purpose of this particular question, as far as quarterbacks that I could have on my squad and win with, those are all the guys that have shown me that. I mean, and I say that Sam Darnold is the poster child, but no, Baker Mayfield is actually the poster child. We saw what he was in Cleveland. And now you go down to Tampa Bay, that everyone thought that that team was going to completely fall apart when Tom Brady left. They're a serviceable team, especially when they don't get injured. And they've been injured all this year, every which way, and he's still been able to hold them in the road. So, again, a lot of times I feel like it's not the quarterback, it's the team. Like, that question should be, why don't we have as many good teams in the NFL as we used to? Because I really feel like we used to not – it used to literally be an any given Sunday. Not a, well, this team ain't going to win unless everybody else bet on the other team and Vegas makes it happen. Like, that's like we don't have an any given Sunday anymore. It's an if Vegas makes it happen kind of outlook now. And I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent, but I kind of feel like, oh, I got one for you. It's not the quarterbacks, and it might not be the teams. Why are coaches so much worse than they used to be? That's the crust of the problem. It's the the Chargers, for instance, right? The team that's probably about to lose to Denver tonight, and that's okay, still has a winning record after tonight, even if they lose. They were bottom feeders before they got Harbaugh back in there. It's pretty much the same team, and they actually lost a few pieces. So what's the difference maker? The coach, same quarterback, less as far as running back is concerned, less as far as wide receiver is concerned, less as far as defense is concerned, much better record. Let's put 1 and 1 together and make it 2 instead of 11. It's the coaching. And the reason why the coaching hasn't upgraded is because you haven't found the depth of your talent. You just keep recycling guys that you've already figured out can't do the job instead of finding the guys that are out there that want the opportunity to show that they're just as good as some of the other guys. So
yep.
I know that was a very long answer to a very short question, but I've gotten to the crux of it. The reason why we don't have a lot more good quarterbacks in the NFL is because we have bad coaching. That's where I'm at.
And that's the truth. So the last topic for this week's The Truth and Nothing But the Truth. Will we ever see another college football dynasty like Alabama?
No. No. Pretty simple. NILs kill that. Because why am I going to go sit on your bench for 3 years just to be able to say I played for you when I can literally go make money playing for somebody else? I don't have to use your pipeline to get to the NFL to make money. I can go play for North Dakota State and retire at the age of 24. Like, the game has changed. Literally, the game has changed. So, no, you'll never see a dynasty like that because guys literally waited their turn 2, 3, 4 years to be able to get in there and to have that opportunity. No one's doing that now. No, if you didn't give me the ball all year, I'm hopping in the portal. The combination of the portal and NIL, I can go make money somewhere else, and I don't have to sit out of here, and I don't have to wait behind all these other dudes that I don't feel are as good at this position as I am. What's my motivation to stay at this point? This ain't the day of your father, and you just hold tight to your commitment, and you said you'd play for this school, so don't play for anybody else and nothing matters and the situation doesn't matter. And no. We're past all that. NIL and the portal? Nah, bro. You'll never see. This year is showing you what the landscape of college football will look like going forward. Any given Saturday. We now have more of a any given Saturday than we do a any given Sunday. That's where we are in the state of football.
Yeah, I think for me, there's three things, two which you said perfectly, right? NIL and portal are two big ones, huge ones, huge reasons why we won't see another dynasty, or at least anytime soon. The third part is the expanded playoffs. Instead of having to win two games to win a title, now you're going to have to win double that, you know, or more than that. So more than two. So bigger fields makes it a bigger margin of error. Or less margin of error, I should say. So as a result of that, when you have less margin of error, it makes it tougher, and you have all these moving parts with NIL and portal. It's going to be too hard to continue to repeat that process. So totally agree.
But I think that's great for college football, though, because people don't start out the year thinking that they already know what's about to happen. Who wants to watch a movie that you already know the ending to? Like, what's the purpose?
Fair enough.
And that will wrap up our truth and nothing but the truth. Let's move on to our top five of something. This week, BK, we have our top five holidays. What we got up for number five for you?
Zay, you can clearly tell I'm in the holiday spirit. Last week we did Christmas songs. Now we're doing holidays. You can tell that I'm hoping that I get excellent presents during this holiday season. I'm trying to bring that goodwill on.
Hey, I love it. What we got up first?
So for number five, for me, I have New Year's. And the reason why is, this won't shock you at all as well as you know me, and by now probably won't shock any of you out there. Well, I don't use New Year's specifically to create goals. I'm a work in progress all year long. I don't use a day of the year or a New Year to change that. But what I do think is there's a tremendous amount of reflection that people do, myself and I think a lot of people, between Christmas and New Year's. How did this year go? What did we like? What didn't we like? What do we hope for in 2025? So I think it's a refocusing on what do I want for myself in 2025? And so I've always liked New Year's, not to mention the fact I've always enjoyed watching the playoff games on New Year's as well. So that's never a bad thing either. Who you got?
New Year's for me was an honorable mention. And because I'm old now, BK. I don't care. I'm by humbug to New Year's. I'm going to be asleep by the time the ball drops. I've eaten the same food every New Year's for probably about the last 20 years. There's just nothing. I mean, and then I have to remember for the first like 3 months of the new year not to sign stuff with the last year's year. So it will be clear to March before I start signing stuff 2025 instead of 2024. It's just, I don't know. But that is an honorable mention, though. After I poo-pooed it. It's an honorable mention. Number five for me is actually Memorial Day. Memorial Day makes my list because I have a few fallen friends, if you will, that were in the military that particular holiday sticks out to me. And not only because of people that I know personally, but because of the sacrifice that hundreds, thousands of Americans have made over the years for us to be safe and secure as a nation. So I do have Memorial Day and another honorable mention, Veterans Day. Veterans don't get the same cachet because we're still here. So I'm patting the people on the back that made the largest sacrifice. So that's number five for me. And then again, Veterans Day is another honorable mention. There won't be any more honorable mentions. So what you got at number four, BK?
If we're playing buy or sell, I'm going to sell that. I know you too well.
What's the over under? What's the over under?
I feel like the over under is a half. We're going to get at least one more honorable mention. I'm going to, by the way, BK.
Hey, look, it depends on what you say, because you may say something. I'm like, you know what? Now that you say that, I kind of like that holiday. Throw that on honorable mention.
I'll try to bait you into another one. My number four, ironically, 4th of July. Love fireworks, love summertime, being on the water, fireworks, all those things. You know, it's parades, great weather, a lot of fun, cookouts. It's just a great time to celebrate, a lot of fun. So that's my number four. What you got?
I don't want this to be a running theme here, BK, but I'm going to just put it out there. I don't like 4th of July. I don't. And I know I just got all patriotic with Memorial Day.
Are you just trying to poo-poo everything I name? Is this what this is about?
Well, let me tell you why, BK. I don't like the summer. My favorite season is the fall. I don't like bugs. I don't like sweating. So the fall and the winter are better for me because there's no bugs. And I don't have to sweat just because I woke up and rolled over, which is what you get in the state of South Carolina, because the heat is just different down here. I mean, you literally hop out the shower and need a shower. Like, I don't like it. But anyway, you didn't ask me any of that. I'm just giving you my number four. My number four is Mother's Day. I love Mother's Day. The look on my wife's face when she gets whatever she gets from our kids, and the look of appreciation on my mom's face when, you know, she gets whatever she gets, and just paying homage and showing love to those that brought us into the world and those that make the world a great place to live in, our moms and our significant others. So yeah, for me, number four is Mother's Day. So that's Memorial Day and Mother's Day, 5 and 4 for me. Now, I dare you to tell me how much you hate Mother's Day so I can make sure that Mama Kozar listens to this so particularly.
So this is where Senator BK comes out here, and I just need to preface this for everyone out there. Mom, Dad,
that better be an honorable mention for you.
I need you to know that both Mother's Day and Father's Day were honorable mentions. Not only because I always say this, they know I say this, my friends, everyone who knows me know, all joking aside, I mean this seriously. I couldn't have picked better parents if I would have had the choice of doing so. I'm very blessed. They are amazing people, and they've been tremendous role models for me. So they are very deserving of this honorable mention. And by the way, I have to say, you're making me look bad in this segment because your answers are so thoughtful and I look like the schmuck who hasn't put any thought into this. So I'm going to throw a challenge flag because this is terrible. But be that as it may, I'm going to try to save it because I still got three left. My number three, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving encompasses three of my favorite F's. Family.
This is the family show, BK.
Family, food, and football. There you go.
Okay, we made it through.
I don't want the FCC coming after me because BK got crazy about his 3Fs.
We made it through your favorite 3Fs without any hurt or harm or danger. Coming upon any of the children, they may be listening to the show. So I appreciate you, BK. All right. Number three for me, Easter. Coming up, the thing I love so much about Easter, obviously the connotation to my personal religion, being a Christian, there's that piece of it, which is the biggest piece of it. But also, Easter was one of those holidays that no matter what, no matter if we had money that year, if we were broke that year, if things were up, things were down, no matter what, there was always an Easter suit, Easter dress shoes, and candy. I'm going to get some shoes, some clothes, and some candy. That's all. What more could you ask for? Like what more could you in chocolate at that? Oh, buddy, that one of my favorites. And then also because at the church that I grew up in, every Easter, they would always do the Easter egg hunt. They would always have some type of like fellowship or something where like everybody's eating together and all that kind of good stuff. And you know me, anytime you put a plate in front of me and friends and laughter and chocolate again, that's just a good day, BK. I don't know what else you want out of a day other than that. So, yeah, Easter, number three for me.
My number two, and I feel like I'm going to get some eye rolls for a lot of the people out here for this. But that's okay. I got broad shoulders. I'll take it. My number two is actually not a real holiday, but it is a BK day. And you're like, what is he talking about? My birthday. My birthday is not included. Why? My birthday, I never work on my birthday. I only do what I want on my birthday. And it is, I can't tell you the last time I've worked or gone to school on my birthday. It is the one day of the year that's truly yours. And not to be all melancholy during the holidays, but having lost some friends who are way younger than I am, you start to appreciate that tomorrow's never promised. So when you have a chance to celebrate it at this point, you celebrate every single one of them because nothing else is guaranteed. So that's my number two.
Agreed, BK. Well said. Number two for me, Christmas. I'm going to put out, let me just say this in general. I'm not a holiday guy. I'm just not. Most holidays are just another excuse for me to have to spend more money that I don't really want to spend. I'm just putting it out there. That's what we've kind of commercialized every other month of the year so that the economy can remain stable year round. And there's certain holidays that just tend to hit us in the pocket a little bit harder than others. But with all that being said, there's nothing like the look on your kid's face when they get some expensive toy that they didn't deserve and won't want to play with it after about an hour and a half. For that 30 seconds of cheering glee and awe that you see on their face before they move on with life and open up the next box and completely forgot what was in the last box. That's what hits my heart, BK. That's what makes Christmas worth it. And this is the other thing about Christmas. Normally, most years, this year, we aren't doing it, but most years, me and my wife, our gift to each other will be getting out of this house. Even if it's for just a week, it may be a vacation or a staycation, but we normally go somewhere and say, forget these kids for like 3 days. And then we come back well-rested, recharged, and move on with life. But but yeah, Christmas, number two on my list. What you got for number one? Go ahead, BK.
My number one, there was no doubt what my number one was going to be. Christmas. It's my favorite time of the year. It's truly the most wonderful time of the year. And I'm going to repeat something I've said twice before. It's truly a magical time. I love it. I'm very thankful to be able to visit, spend time with family over the holidays. It's going to be relaxing, fun, joyous celebration, and can't wait. And like I said, there's nothing better than that. What is your number one?
Number one for me is Thanksgiving. Again, food first, family second. No, I'm just kidding. Family first, then food.
Do you know what I thought your number one was going to be? I thought you were thankful for BK's best bet.
Would you think I was going to put BK's birthday as my number one, too?
No. I need something a lot stronger in this water, Zay, for that.
Hey, BK, I'm going to have to drain that account to get Christmas together. BK's bets are about to come in handy for the 25th this year. But that pretty much wraps it up for me as far as my top five holidays.
Love it.
Moving right along to the aforementioned BK's best bets, because baby's got to eat and money has been spent on Christmas that has to be recouped. Let's start recouping it the week before Christmas. What you got for us this weekend, BK?
Well, last week was a tremendous weekend, right? We hit everything other than the Lions. It was, you know, a solid week. I don't get credit for these, but I want to point out, because I mentioned on the other show, also hit the teasers with the Eagles money line and the Buccaneers plus +9. Those all hit. Here are this week's best bets. In the NFL, we have three straight bets. Give me the Chiefs money line at home over the Texans. Mahomes is playing. It's an important game. It's at home. I don't trust the Texans to travel on the road and get it done. And besides, the Chiefs have found a way to win these games all year long. They're going to do it again. Next, going to continue to ride the Eagles. This time, the Eagles are traveling to the nation's capital, the Commanders. It's a big game for Washington. You dubbed it Big Brother versus Little Brother. I'm going to make it simpler than that, right? The Eagles are red hot, 12-2. For me, they're the best team in the NFC. Yes, I put them over Minnesota and Detroit. You heard it here first.
Oh, okay.
Give me the Eagles money line at Washington. They're going to show just how dangerous they are. They'll win that game. Last but not least, you liked them earlier. I like them now. Give me the Buccaneers money line at Dallas. Do we really think the Cowboys are going to slow down the Buccaneers and how well they've played, especially now that they have a one-game lead in their division? Very, very important game for the Bucs. They need this game more. Give me Tampa Bay. They're the better team across the board. Defense, coaching, give me the Bucs. And I have my Zay teaser for the week as well.
Okay, what we got?
Give me the Lions teasing it to the money line. They're going to redeem themselves and win on the road at my favorite team to bet against, the Bears. And then I also am going to take the Steelers plus +12 at Baltimore. The Steelers have won 8 of the last 9 against the Ravens. It's a very important game for both teams. Again, I don't need the Steelers to win this game, to be clear. I'm not saying they're going to win the game. I just need them to not lose by 2 touchdowns. And given the fact that 8 of the 9 have been one-score games, or actually all 9 of them have been one-score games, and they've won 8 of the 9 of them. Oh, and by the way, in 8 of those 9, the Ravens haven't even scored 20 points in any of those first 8 games. So if I'm getting 12 knowing that history, I love getting 12 points. So give me the Steelers plus +12. That concludes the best bets for this week.
KC money line, Philly money line, Tampa Bay money line, Detroit and Pitt on the teaser picks. Love it. Anything going for college?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. So there's a teaser I have for that as well. Notre Dame, when I looked this afternoon, was a 7.5-point home favorite over Indiana, as was Ohio State against Tennessee at home. Moved both of those lines up to minus -1.5. Basically, you just need them to win the game. Give me the Buckeyes and Notre Dame in a teaser to win at home. But I got the better team. They only have to win by basically 2 or more. That's the college play for this week. I hope you got those down, Zay. And also, I hope all of you got that down too, because I'm trying to make you money to close the year. I love it.
I'm not only a client. I'm not only a client. I'm the player president. I'm getting in on all of this. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
I love it.
Last but not least, this week's can't miss weekly rants. You want me to go first, or you want to go first, BK? Mine is actually going to be pretty short this week. I just want to call the people to a place of reflection. And I just want people to really look inside and ask themselves a simple question. And I can go first or you can go first, either way, but it's going to be pretty short and sweet for me.
With your build up, you go first, buddy.
Okay, well, I just want to point out to some people that I just don't see the level of vitriol and the level of laughter and giggling. And I just want you to take into account that your bias is showing. All that stuff y'all had to say last year about my Lakers, when they won the NBA Cup, I don't hear anybody saying anything about the Bucks. Everything that you said about LeBron James when he won the NBA Cup, I don't hear anybody saying anything about Giannis. I see a bunch of likes and a bunch of hearts, not a bunch of laughing. What's the difference? What a difference a year makes, huh? Kind of how, and we'll never know, but I have a sneaky suspicion that that bubble championship would have been one of the most difficult to get. Excuse me. Would have been one of the most difficult to get if it wasn't LeBron that got it, if it wasn't the Lakers that won it. For whatever reason, if LeBron does it or gets it, it's not quite as hard. Someone else does it, they deserve a pat on the back or a, you know, an attaboy, if you will. So I'm just calling for a little bit of self-reflection, if you happen to be one of those people. And I just want you to know that your hate is showing. And that's all I wanted to put out there. People hate greatness. How many times in your life, BK? And don't take this the wrong way, buddy, because it's one of my teams too. But how many times in your life have you heard anyone say, "I hate the Cleveland Browns," unless they were actually a Browns fan after a bad loss? How many people other than actual Browns fans have you ever heard say, "I hate the Cleveland Browns"?
Not many.
Not many. Because people only hate greatness. LeBron gets as much hate. The Lakers get as much hate as they get. Because you know that I know that you know they're the greatest. And that's the truth. Go ahead, BK. That's all I got.
I'm not supposed to eye roll
anymore. I said it. I said it.
I hope after that garbage that people are still listening to my rant. That's all I can say. But I'm going to try to restore some hope and reason here. My rant this week has to do with about fan bases having unrealistic expectations. Listen, I get it. I understand that the part of fans is fanatics. I understand there's a reason behind that. But I'm talking to you, teams like Auburn and Tennessee and some of these college programs that think they're something that they're not. And I laugh, for example, being in South Carolina. I hear all this stuff about Clemson, right? And I'm going to tell you a story about my little grocery store visit last year. There was a gentleman in the store because I was wearing a Florida State jersey. By the way, the undefeated Noles last year, I know it seemed like 15 years ago, but they were undefeated last year. And he was talking trash about the Noles. And I said, "You know what?" And of course, I delivered this in only the way that I can do it. I said, "You know, look, no, make no mistake, Clemson's had a great run for 8 years. Now imagine Florida State doing that 3 times longer, because the Noles literally did it for 25 years. So guess what? If you do it 17 more years," which of course they didn't do, "but if you did it for that long, then come talk to me." But people forget that before this 8-year run for Clemson, Clemson was mediocre for 3 decades. Like, and that's the truth. Auburn, they've been chasing the ghost of Nick Saban for 15 years now. They've been rifling coaches in and out of there. Do you know how many coaches Nick Saban's gotten fired in the SEC because every fan base thinks they're going to be Bama? And LSU, they have Brian Kelly. How's that turned out? Welcome to 8-4. Good luck with that. You know, like Auburn, they've recycled coaches. Florida can't seem to keep a coach. Like, you can go up and down the SEC and look at these coaches and say to yourself, these fan bases are delusional. Like, it's some, like, I understand as a fan, and look, I'm a passionate fan of my teams. I understand that I have an expectation. I always say the standard is the standard. But at some point, you got to know when your team isn't any good. Like this year, as soon as we took DJU as quarterback, I knew we were going to suck. And we did. So at some point, you got to be truthful and honest with yourself and self-aware to know, hey, my team is great. My team is not so great. But people need to, I can't believe I'm going to close this by using an Aaron Rodgers quote. The people need to R-E-L-A-X. And that's
it. Relax. And that wraps it up for the week for us. And it'll actually wrap it up for the next couple weeks. We won't have a show for next week. We will be spending time with our loved ones on Christmas. But we will be back to you the very following week, giving you the best of what we got. And you might actually hear a little something different by the time you hear from us again. And I think you'll be able to figure out what that is when you hear. Make sure you stay tuned. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But this
change is coming. And guys, happy holidays. I hope you guys have a tremendous holiday season.
Likewise. Happy holidays, good people. You enjoy your evening. Remain safe. Love up on your loved ones. And remember, it's not all about you in this season. Try to do something special for somebody else. And that is the truth.
And nothing but the
truth. All right, y'all.
Later, y'all.